is true naturally, it is true spiritually, Brother Jerry. Work ethic in our natural lives is something that's looked well upon and admonished in the Scriptures. And having that same work ethic in His kingdom spiritually, with our spiritual lives, is also commended and admonished to every child of God to be busy.
That's right.
When I was young, back a long time ago, in kindergarten, our teacher made us do a little art activity where we had beans and glue. And we wrote out whatever we were going to write, and we put glue on the letters and then put beans on there. And she wanted us to write out some small thing that we thought was very important. And the one that I chose was, "Idle hands are the devil's tools." And we did that in kindergarten, in a public school. My, how things have changed. Now, and I want to read just a little bit from Proverbs chapter 3. Jerry was in Proverbs chapter 3. I want to back up a little bit and start in verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." What did it say to do? To trust. "And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Just as a side note, is Solomon saying that if the Lord blesses you abundantly, then you take of that increase and give it to the Lord, and then He'll bless you? Or does He say to bless the Lord first with thy substance, and then you'll have increase? Which one is it? The one that, where Solomon says that you give of your substance and the Lord will bless you with increase. He didn't say wait until you get increased and then give the Lord your substance. That's just a little side note. That one's for free. And that don't have a whole lot to do with what I want to talk about today. Then he starts out verse 11 and says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth."
Amen.
"Even as a father, the son, in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Now, I could go on with that, but I'm not. The reason why I brought that up is that I'd like to go back to the 12th chapter of Hebrews and speak to you about running the race. We talked some about it last week, about running the race, and I kind of want to pick up where I left off. And I'd like to read, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a lot of sets in here, aren't there? For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Sound familiar? He's quoting Solomon. Solomon got it from God. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now, I read 13 verses and said so much. That's a lot of reading. But I want you to know what it said in context. Second of all, I want you to understand what it means. We talked about running the race, and I'm not going to rehash that last week. But I do want us to realize that He just has talked about faith. What did Solomon say first thing that we ought to do? We ought to trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. Paul says that we ought to, because of all this cloud, we ought to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, each one of us has a race to run. It is set before us. It is set by God. The only way we are able to run this race is by faith, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, but He's also run His set course. There were many obstacles that faced Jesus in His set course, weren't there? He talks about some of those. Sinners contradicted Him at every step, didn't they? Did Jesus have an easy course? I mean, Zechariah, in describing Christ and talking about Him, talking about Christ, prophesying about Christ, when, you know who Zechariah was, the father of John the Baptist. He said, this man, this child is set for the rise, for the falling and the rising again of many in Israel. Do you think Jesus' course was set? I do. I believe it with every fiber I got, that Jesus' steps were set. He knew what His steps were going to be.
Right.
He says, I must needs go through Samaria. They didn't understand why He wanted to go through Samaria, but Jesus knew why He was going to have to go through Samaria, and that's where He met the woman at the well.
Right.
Amen. I'm glad He did. And she is too. Or she was. How many times did you read in the Scriptures about Jesus talking about, I must do these things? Jesus' course was set. He says, that I must go to Jerusalem. I must go to the feast. And the disciples were so distraught about it, they said, if you go down there, you're going to die. And they says, well, we might as well go too and die with Him. They had it in their mind that He's just going to end it all. It's almost like He's going to commit suicide going down there, because He knows that they're after Him and He's going down there. But the disciples didn't know. Jesus knew, right? Jesus knew about His steps. They didn't understand about His steps. I want you to think about what I'm saying today. I want you to ponder about it in the Word. I want you to ponder about it in your mind. They didn't understand what Jesus was doing, but Jesus always knew what He was doing from the first step to the last. He knew what they were going to be before He was manifest in the flesh. His course was set. Now, there were many obstacles that He met with in His race, in His course. One of them was the cross. Let alone all the sinners that contradicted Him along the way. But He endured all of it, didn't He? At every hand, Christ endured all the despisings, all of the chastenings, and I'll use that word, chastening, because the Bible says that Jesus learned obedience by the things which He suffered. Why did Jesus have to learn something? He's the Son of God. Shouldn't He know everything? Same kind of thing in that we know things in theory, but until we experience them, they're not, we haven't really learned it.
Right.
Jesus had to experience the things. We talked about this, about Him being a compassionate high priest. He experienced these things so that He could understand what you're going through daily. Aren't you glad He did? Now, considering Jesus and His endurance of this contradiction is the basis of our not wearying or becoming faint in our minds while we run our set course. Paul reminds them that they have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Basically, Paul's telling them, you've been lightly persecuted so far. And you haven't yet resisted unto blood in your course, striving against sin, but they would. John the Baptist had a course. Did y'all know that? John the Baptist had a course. I'm going to prove it to you. Paul relates this in his sermon at Antioch, of all places. At Antioch. In Acts 13 and 25, he says, "And as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose." Paul relates this. Paul recognizes that John the Baptist had a course, and he said, and as he was fulfilling his course, that didn't mean he was done with it. That meant he was acting consistently with his course, and that he was fulfilling it. You know, I've got a course set before my life, and I pray that I'm fulfilling it right now. I'm adding one more chapter in the course of my life, in the book of my life, that is my course. And I'm fulfilling that by exercising the gift that God's given me to preach the gospel and feed the sheep. And I pray that you're being fed. I've prayed for that end. It's always my prayer that you're fed, that I would be able to feed you. I want to set this down so that we can understand that each one of us has a course set to run. Peter also had a course to run. 2 Peter 1 and 13, he says, "Yea, I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." You know, God shows things to people before they come to pass. He told Peter when they were out there at the last time that they saw Christ, before he ascended up, they were on the shore, and John was there, and Peter was there, and Peter says, "What's this man?" And that's when the Lord tells Peter, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And he says, "Well, what is this man going to do?" And Jesus rebuked him and said, "What is it if I tell him to tarry?" He said, "You do what I called you to do." And he says, "Let me tell you something, Peter. When you get old, people are going to lead you about where you don't want to go." Foretold his course. He didn't tell him exactly about everything, but he knew that at least it was something that he weren't going to want to do. But apparently he showed him exactly what was going to be here. Peter had a course. Jesus had a course. John the Baptist had a course. Paul had a course. Y'all remember what happened, right? When the Lord struck Paul down on the road to Damascus. And he went to see Ananias. But God also had to tell Ananias and ease his mind about this crazy wild man Paul that was hailing men and women and putting them into prison and calling for their death, those that called on the name of the Lord. And Ananias was a God-following, God-fearing, Christ-following man. And he was scared of this man. And God eased his mind. But you know, remember what he told him? He says, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Right. He says, "I'm going to show him those things. And I want to go through this kind of slow, and to show you about the race that Paul had." Paul had a race, and after that, he says, and this is Paul's course was set. I want to, then now this is Paul's account of his road to Damascus experience before King Agrippa. That's later on in Acts, but he recounts it and he tells a little bit more about his experience. And he says, this is what the Lord told me. He said, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Delivering thee from the people, I think he's talking about the Jews, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, God told Paul that I'm going to show you the things that you're going to have to suffer for me. I'm going to show you the things that are going to befall you. Now, and Paul says in Acts 19, when he was with the men of Ephesus, the elders of Ephesus, Paul says that I am, this is 19 to 21, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Paul wasn't going on a sightseeing trip. God had already told him that you're gonna declare me and be a witness of mine before kings. Before kings. Paul said, I got to go to Rome. God showed me I did. And now that wasn't before the elders. This is before the elders in Acts 20. He gathered them all together and told them, I'm not going to see your face anymore. He says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Did you know in your court? Now, Paul's course was set. That doesn't mean that Paul really knew every little step that was going to that he was going to take or the things that would befall him. While we're studying about this and talking about our course being set, I want us to realize that it's not every single little step that we make in our lives. Amen?
Right.
Because I misstep, don't you?
That's right.
I misstep in my course. That's why Paul tells them later, make straight paths for your feet. He says in this course, about this course running, Paul says that first of all, he says, I don't know the things that are going to befall me there, but God has shown me that every place I go, bonds and afflictions abide me. Every place I go. Paul at the end, he told Timothy, he says in 2 Timothy 4 and 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Wow. What a declaration from a man of God that endured a lot of contradiction of sinners against his own self. Paul bear the great burdens that God showed him he was going to suffer? How did Paul wake up in the morning knowing that he was going to be in bonds and afflictions, and I believe that he knew that he was going to be scourged and stoned and be the... And I believe God showed him those things. How did Paul wake up in the morning without throwing his hands up and saying, "I can't do it, Lord, I just can't do it"? What got Paul through all of these visions and revelations about what was going to happen to him? What got him through? God caught him up into the third heaven and showed him his glory. He showed him the things that we haven't seen.
That's right.
Showed him the things about what it was like to see the Lord. Like, the third heaven, y'all, there's a first, a second, and a third. And I believe I can see the first one with my natural eye. And I don't know what the second one is. But I know the third one is where God dwells. And he says, I don't know if he took me up there in body or in mind or in spirit. He said, but I seen it. And you know, Jesus saw the same thing because he knew what he was. He says, Lord, return unto me the glory that I had with thee from the beginning. Jesus had the joy set before him. And because Jesus had the joy set before him, that's what gave him the ability to endure the cross. And despising the shame of it all. Paul could say with Jesus, just like Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, the vision of heaven and the God's pure world where he dwells was what gave Paul the strength to get up every day and say, I'll take these reproaches gladly. And yes, for the joy that was set before Paul, he endured the things that he did. But Paul didn't say it that way. He said it a little bit differently. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. That's what Paul said. Paul said he'd seen that glory. You know the difference between me and you and Paul and Jesus? They knew their course. God showed them their course. He hasn't showed me mine. He hasn't showed me the end. Ultimately, he's shown us the end, but I haven't seen it with my eyes. How do I see it, though? How do I see it? I see it by faith. I see it by faith. I see the end of my course by faith. I don't know what's going to happen between now and then. I'm not real worried about it. Because I know that in the end, I'm going to be with God.
That's right.
I don't know the things that are going to befall me on a daily basis, but I do know this, that I believe God has set my course. I believe that. Now He doesn't direct every little step I make because, like I said, I make missteps. But he's got a course for me. And when I'm on that course, it's good. And yes, there are things in that course that are chastisements. I don't want to get ahead of myself. That course is set. You ever wonder why things happen to you in your life? I want you to ponder this. How many times when you're going through a hard thing, and you don't know where it's from, and then afterwards, when you go through it and it's all said and done, and you look hindsight and you say, oh, I see that. I see what the Lord was doing. And what do we say? Hindsight is 20/20, right? Why is that? Because you don't have foresight. You don't have foresight to see, you don't have to foretell your future as far as the steps that you're going to go unless God shows you something. I believe He still does that. You ever heard of people having a premonition and things like that, and then of their death or whatever? I believe God still does some of that. But while we're on this, God doesn't choose every little step for you. But there are things that happen in our life that are sent by God for a specific purpose. There are also things that happen in our life that are punishment and chastisements that are self-inflicted. Everything that happens to you that's not good don't come from God. Sometimes it comes from me. Sometimes it comes from my ignorance. Sometimes it comes from my stupidity, where I just make a bad choice. And I know it's bad. And I have to bear the punishment of that. In all of what Paul is going to talk about next, and it won't do for me to get into it today. That's next week. But all that Paul's going to talk about next is talking about chastisement, which doesn't really seem to fit right after talking about running the race. But folks, they're inseparable. Running your race is going to be fraught with chastisement. But sometimes our view sometimes of chastisement isn't always right. Chastisement, used in the Scriptures, is not always getting a whooping. Okay? Chastisement has the idea of the whole training of a child. It's got the idea that there are, yes, reproofs and rebukes, corrections, scourgings, yes, whoopings, yes, physical reprisals, yes. It also holds with it the idea of evils that come about from God for a purpose, for a specific purpose. Y'all do some reading about it. Chastisement. Look up the Strong's word. Do some thinking. Do some thinking. Paul had a messenger of Satan that was given to him lest he be exalted above measure. A thorn in the flesh was given to Paul. What? Who do you think sent that messenger? Satan was happy to do it. What was the purpose? Why God? Satan would be happy for him to be exalted above measure. but not in terms of God. He wants Paul to be exalted above measure in himself.
Right.
Satan didn't send that messenger. He was a messenger of Satan. God sent that messenger to Paul. Are the wheels in your mind turning? I hope they are. I hope they are. God doesn't send every storm in your life, but He does send some storms on purpose. Some things you have in your life are because of your own actions and your own thoughts. Self-inflicted reproofs. A lot of them are sent by God. I don't know what the ratio is. I don't know. I have no idea. I know God sets the course for every one of His children. The extent to which He's active in every step, I don't know. But I can't read the Bible with any degree of intelligence and think that He just wound it up and let her go. And by the same token, I cannot read this Bible with any intelligence and say that He directs every step. Because that would make Him the author of sin, and He's not.
That's right.
Y'all understand what I'm talking about today? To give you the names, the deists believe that God just wound up the universe and just let it go and He don't have anything to do with any of it. I know it's not that ditch. And the other one is the absolute predestination of all things mentality that says God directs every little thing that happens in our life. And I know it's not that's God dealing and we're just robots and puppets on a string. And I know that's not true. That's another ditch. And it's dangerous to be both in them. To be in both of them. So that would be God acting 100% in our lives and we have zero mind of our own. We have zero action. We're just doing what God tells us to do, which makes God the author of sin. And I know that's not true. So we've got zero down here and 100 up here. When we get to glory, when we get to glory, and God says, y'all had that, I just wound it up and let it go. You know what I'm going to say? Praise the Lord. If I get to glory and He says, you didn't have a thing to do with that, I directed every step and every little thing that happened every time you breathed and every time you blew your nose, I'm going to say, praise the Lord. I don't think it's either one of those. Hallelujah. But where in the middle it is, I do not know. My personal opinion is that I'm closer to the side where God directs more than He don't. I might just be on that side of that fence just a little past 50%. I don't know. Maybe it's 75. Maybe it's 90. I don't know. I'm talking about for the children of God. I can't go into it. I got to finish. Y'all think about this. I've been pondering about it for a long time. A long, long time. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about what God's Word says about it. I want you to read about His Word. Now, to understand some of how God deals with His people, you're going to have to read in the Old Testament. I know some of y'all don't like that. That's all right. Read in the Old Testament to get a good, clear picture of how God deals with sons. Who was Paul talking to in Hebrews? He told them, you forgot your history. He said, you've forgotten that God said He deals with you as sons. You've forgotten that. We would do well not to forget it. The doors of this church are open for reception of members should any have a desire to follow Jesus Christ in holiness and rest with us here in Antioch. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.